Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Our service today, I'm Pastor Zach. I'm your student ministries and media pastor here at Radius Church. Today is the day where the youth take the service. As you can see, they've been doing a fantastic job. That's right. You can give them a hand. And these two right here are going to be the ones who are going to give you guys your verbal announcements this morning. Would you guys give them a hand real quick?
Welcome to Radius Church, everyone. I'm Jed.
And I'm Eli. Now, can we give a great warm welcome to our first time guest this morning?
We're very glad you joined us today because we exist to help all people.
Today, if you haven't noticed, the youth have taken over the service, and so far they have done a fantastic job, and they will continue to do so.
If you are a first-time guest, there is a welcome card in front of you. Go ahead, fill it out, and turn it in at the end of the service at the welcome table out in the lobby.
We have a free gift for you that we want to get into your hands.
That same card has a prayer section on the back. Our pastors would love to pray for you and your family's needs, so fill it out and turn it in at the end of the service at the drop box on your way out today.
We also have a Radius Church app where you can type in your prayer requests and get them in during the week.
We have free coffee and treats available right after service to everyone, so get a treat and hang around.
Today is also Family Sunday, meaning all kids are in the sanctuary with us. We do have nursery and preschool available.
Growth track classes start next week Sunday in the library at 9 a.m. right before church service.
That's all we have for you, Radius Church. Here is a special video announcement.
This is Alicia and Margot Ray, and we are your missionaries to Scotland. The gift that Jumpstart will provide is eternal, and we are very, very grateful. The $17,000 that we're hoping to raise through Jumpstart will go towards our community coffee cafe. It will help provide some equipment and upkeep and some supplies of the ministry that is our cafe. What does that include? Well, again, I'm glad you asked. There will be espresso machines, food warmers, coffee cups, and of course, rent, utilities, and everything that belongs to that we need to pay for. It will be called Kirkhouse Coffee, as churches in Scotland are called Kirks. And it will be a community haven that will have the presence of God and good treats. Who doesn't like a good treat?
That's right.
We will also provide the space for classes and meetings for the community to utilize. Your gift will help in the outreach and everyday running of this ministry. And it truly has an eternal impact. The following pictures are the building being remodeled and then the finishing photo of the sitting area. The people in the photos are the precious people that are part of Bridge Family Church. And they will be helping run the Kirkhouse Coffee and provide the much needed volunteer support.
Yes, and thank you again. We truly love our Wyoming Ministry Network family that we've been a part of for 20 years, and we love that we get to partner with you in this. Thank you, Wyoming Ministry Network family, and thank you, Jumpstart.
Less than 2% of Scotland are followers of Jesus Christ, and about only 50% claim any type of religious affiliation. And Margo and Alicia Rea, they are missionaries in the capital city of Edinburgh. And in this city where they're located, the houses are very small, and so people, when they want to have a family get-together, they have to go to a coffee house or a community center So this coffee house that they are going to be helping run and get established is going to be crucial for that. And as they mentioned, they're going to have classes there. And some of those classes will be Bible studies to invite people to learn about God. Already, AA meetings have been taking place at the building that you can see that the people of the church have renovated. They now need to outfit it with, in your worship program this morning, you can see a breakdown of the expenses that are going to be used, the $17,000, but two professional-grade coffee makers, and then you've got the cups, the cup protectors, all the different supplies, coffee, decorations, and things like that that they're going to use. And so if you would like to give to this project, what we encourage you to do is either, if you're doing it online or here in the house, label it Jumpstart. And then all of the money, we're going to be giving it next week during our network conference here as we host churches from all around the state. And we're going to partner together, and hopefully we can raise $17,000. And so if you'd like to give to that, you can give online or at the radius or at the kiosk, the drop box, and you can just make sure you label it Jumpstart. And we're looking forward to seeing God doing a powerful work in Scotland. A couple other announcements I have is that next Sunday we have a very special surprise guest. This guest doesn't have an opportunity to speak in a whole lot of churches. Very few churches in America get this guest. And I'm not going to tell you who it is. You've got to come next week and find out. But we have a very special guest coming. You don't want to miss it. And so make sure you're here for that. And now, your video announcements.
The Ladies Clothing Swap event is coming up soon.
April 12th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Don't be late.
We need a lot of small candy to fit in the eggs for Easter egg hunt coming up.
But we also need plastic eggs for the candy to go in.
Please drop them off by April 19th. Thank you.
The youth movie night is coming up April 25th at 6 p.m.
Don't be late.
That's all we have for you, Radius Church.
Remember to check your bulletin.
Our website and app.
And all of our social media accounts
to stay up to date
on the latest and greatest happening
right here at Radius Church.
Bye! Bye.
We had a few issues going on with the video camera that day, but they wanted to do something really fun for you guys. So in a nutshell, that's your youth group, okay? Those are your kids, all right? They love to have fun, but they also do love the Lord very much. One thing that we forgot to mention for you guys is that if you didn't already hear, Lola Silva had passed away last week, and so her funeral is going to be this coming Friday at 2:30 right here at Radius Church, okay? We would love for you guys to be able to attend and help and just support the family. Be praying for them this week as they have much to discuss and go over, and so be praying for the Silva family, okay? Now, so many of you guys, a couple weeks ago, we talked about fine arts. Fine arts was a great thing that our youth were able to be a part of. And as you can see, we've got some interesting things set up for you guys. And so what's happening is they're going to do the drama that they performed, that they were able to go, that they have qualified to go to nationals with, that they have gotten a superior invitation with. You can give them a hand for that. Absolutely. But before that, Coulter Swenson is going to give you his short sermon that he had to do within 5 minutes. So it's very quick, it's very short, but it's a powerful message that he would like to be able to share with you guys today. If you guys would, give Coulter Swenson a hand as he comes up today.
Thank you for having me up here. I don't have a cool name for this, so sorry if you're disappointed. You have to love God in order to pursue God. You don't pursue something you don't love. If you loved God, you would be actively pursuing God. It's not a passive thing. I mean, imagine a couple. If they passively talk to each other once in a while, how quickly their relationship would die. So why would it be any different with God, really? But I guess the question is, how do we love God? Well, the answers are in Scripture, as always. It says in John 14:15-21, if you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Jesus says that the way we love him is by obeying him. I also like how Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit when he's talking about loving God. Because without the Holy Spirit, you have no chance of pleasing God, really. In fact, you wouldn't even want to please him. We know this because of Romans 8:7. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes into us so we can please God. You know, a lot of what God wants from us is small and simple ways of showing love to people, like being patient or showing grace when someone wrongs you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's by these fruits that you can tell if someone's passionately pursuing God or if you're passionately pursuing God. It says in Matthew 7:15-20, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. If you want to lead people into Christ, you need the Holy Spirit. Jesus will ask the Father to give the advocate only to those who are serious about loving him. And like I said, the way to love him is by obeying his commands. You know, sometimes it takes sacrifices to get closer to God, but it's always better to make those sacrifices, always. How do you know if it's a sacrifice? Well, is it uncomfortable? That's the biggest question to ask. You know, only you know what the Holy Spirit is asking you what to sacrifice. So please, be sensitive to him and listen to what he has to say. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Well, I guess just to sum it up, I want you to desperately pursue him, like your next breath, and innocently wanting to please him, just like how a child wants to please their mom or their dad. We love God by obeying his commands, and you really can't obey his commands without the Holy Spirit. And of course, you're not saved by works. That's not what I'm saying. You're saved by faith and faith alone. But I think James 2:18 says it well. Now, someone may argue, some have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. I would like to end in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help our fruits grow and help the Holy Spirit work through us more. And I pray that if there is any sacrifices that need to be made, that you would help us actually say yes and act upon that yes, because I know that a lot of times we say yes. But I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Coulter. Wonderful job. Wonderful job, Coulter. Lastly, before we dive into the message with our youth group that we have for you guys today, is their drama that they performed. As they come up, would you guys give them a hand? Go ahead and come on up. They had to do this skit within 5 minutes as well. So I'm going to remind all of them, be loud for us all, please. You guys start whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Radius Church. We are Non-Jabble. We are going to be performing. We performed in the category Drama Ensemble Large. This is an original skit that we wrote titled The Lunch Table. Enjoy.
Demons pray in tongues.
I think the Apostle Paul would disagree.
Well, Darwin said that.
Okay, don't even get started.
No, you don't even
cool start. Cool it. You're going to get us into trouble again. It's all nonsense anyway.
Last call for seconds.
I'll be back. Chicken nuggets. Wait, deal with it. You guys should never agree on anything.
And you guys never trust in science.
Well, sure, we disagree on all, but we do all agree on one thing.
God is good.
All the time.
What? True, but also our Lord and Savior.
Oh, poodle poops, I'm going to be late.
I didn't study. What was that all about?
What?
Hello.
I can't really believe it. They've got to be brainwashed by aliens, for sure.
Or they are aliens. I was just kidding, man.
Why do you believe in Jesus?
Let's go. Get a move on.
We're moving.
Day two.
And so I said, whose grandkid is that?
Man, what's with the chunky grape juice?
It's like a grape slushy.
I wish you didn't like it.
You shouldn't take communion that lightly, dude.
Yeah, because of the body and blood of Christ. Cannibal.
That's your euphemism thing, right?
No. Eucharist. The bread and wine becomes his body and blood.
What? You Christians believe the strangest thing.
Get your skit. Please. Help me out here.
He is a thing from the last supper. Like the famous painting? Jesus was breaking bread with his disciples, and he was trying to explain his death.
He also said to do it in remembrance of him whenever we get together.
A way for us to acknowledge what Christ did for the whole world on the cross, the forgiveness of sins.
Hey, y'all are gonna be late for class.
Man, it's like they're from a whole nother planet, I swear.
I feel that way.
Yeah, well, I don't understand any of it. Exactly.
That's the question.
Okay, yeah.
How many times are we going to go over this before you leave on your own?
I'm sorry.
That's a class. Day three.
So how'd you do on that math test? We have some questions for you all.
Oh, shoot.
So, why is that?
And what is sin?
Okay, well, let's answer the sin question first. Sin is like when a criminal commits a crime and has to go to jail, right?
Yes, sin would be the crime that they had committed.
And just like for every crime, there's a price that has to be paid. The price for committing sin is death. And we all sin, so we all have to die.
The only way to have eternal life and to get to heaven is to accept Jesus.
Jesus came and died to pay that.
Absolutely.
He also rose from the dead, proving he had power over death.
A perfect demonstration of God's love for us.
And all you have to do is accept him into your heart.
Baloney!
Like I said before, they're brainwashed.
Okay, it's not even possible to come to the
Bible. Exactly. Come on, guys, let's sit somewhere else.
Where are you going? I want to know more about Jesus.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you ready to pray and accept you?
Yes.
Hey, well, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for my friend. Please forgive us of our sins. Please become the Lord of our life. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
How do you feel?
Different. A good difference.
Way to go, kid. Say, I know an excellent church you can come to. Okay. The Church of Latter-day Saints.
Oh, no, yeah.
Get to class.
Thank you.
Well, Mike doesn't like me today. So, as they're tearing down this morning, as you can see, if you didn't already could tell, this was a skit that they wrote themselves, somewhat of based on a true story. But they did a fantastic job with it. They wrote their own lines. They came up with it. Absolutely incredible. They had to do it in 5 minutes. And if you couldn't tell, the guy in the white, he was the lunch lady, okay? Or as we named him, Lunch Bro, is what we named him. So we gave them all separate names. We didn't give them all different things. They even had shirts that read Catholic, Baptist, all these things. There was so much happening that we weren't able to get all of them on for today. So unfortunately, you guys missed part of the experience. But they did a fantastic job. And this morning, these two, Olivia and Logan, are going to give you guys the sermon today.
Hey, church, how we doing? You guys look amazing. So my name is Olivia Stevens, and I'm a junior over at NC. So, yeah.
My name is Logan Nelson. I am a senior over at NC.
And today we're going to be giving you the message for the Youth Ran Service. So today we want to begin things how all good things start, and we want to begin with prayer. So we're going to have our friend Noah come up and ask for guidance today. Give Noah a round of applause.
Yay! Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity to just grow closer to the church and grow more united. Father, I pray that you would just give us clarity, and Lord, that it would be you speaking through them, Lord, that it would be just a vessel for your wisdom and your power and your glory, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to minister to all of us and continue to grow our walks with you, and that we would have open hearts to receive this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, as a church, we have a theme. Our theme for this year is faithfulness in God. Can you all say, let's say faithfulness in God. Let's wake up a little bit this morning. So our church theme for the year is?
Faithfulness in God.
Yeah.
What many of you guys might not know is that the youth group has their own, like, theme for the year as well. And our theme this year is be smarter. Trust in God.
Be smarter.
Trust in God.
How do you get the theme, be smarter?
I don't know, Logan.
It's a funny story, actually. As all good stories start, it's a Wednesday night after youth group, and one of our friends wasn't able to make it to youth group, so we figure, let's go surprise him. But we can't show up empty-handed. Let's go to Walmart and get a gift. So we all drive, all me, Olivia, Kylia, and Noah, we all take our own cars and we head to Walmart. We meet there, and what did we do?
Well, we bought Micah Cash some gifts. We got him a DVD of the B-movie. We got him some Dr. Pepper, naturally. We got him a little card that had a picture of a nun holding a grater on it. I think that's about it, Logan.
And we figure, you can't just walk in with a bottle of Dr. Pepper. That's weird, right? So we found a wine gift bag because we got, like, the little 1 liters that fits perfectly in that wine gift bag. We decorate it with sombreros and bows, made it look all pretty, and we figure they got a new car. So let's all carpool over there, save some gas. It'll be efficient, easy. We don't need 3 cars over there. So who drove?
I drove.
How old were you when we did this?
16.
And what's the first little snag we didn't quite think of there?
Well, I have this thing called a restricted license. It's when you first get your license because they think you're too irresponsible to actually drive. They say you can only drive one person that is not your family member. And you have to do it before 8 p.m.
And we drove three. So we're driving, and we're getting on Wyoming Boulevard, kind of by, like, the dentistry office area, when we realize this isn't legal. We need to switch drivers. Because there was me and Kylia, and we didn't have our restrictions, so we figure one of us will drive. And we looked at Olivia, and we said, Olivia, don't get pulled over.
Whoop, whoop. Light, 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 light.
Right as we said that, we get pulled over. And so we pull off to the side, and the cop comes up, okay? A sheriff walks up, and he comes up to my window, and he goes, license, registration, proof of insurance. Do you know why I pulled you over today? Lists the reasons of why he pulled us over. And I look at Livy. Livy, what were you missing again?
My insurance and registration.
But you had your license.
I did have my restricted license.
So he takes her license. He looks at me, looks in the back seat, says, I need your guys' licenses as well. So I hand him mine. Kylia hands him hers. Noah looks at him and goes, I don't have a license.
I'm 14.
I'm only 14. And this cop goes, wow, you got some cool friends. You're doing some cool stuff at 14. Takes her information. He goes back to his car. She pulls up her insurance and everything. It's all good. We get squared away. Hands me my license. Hands Kylia her license. Holds Livy's and goes, so, you got something you want to tell me?
Yes, sir. I have restrictions. Please don't arrest me. I'm just a girl.
I look over at Olivia, and I thought she was going to pass out. She is holding the steering wheel, and she is paler than Casper the Friendly Ghost at this point. And he looks at us and goes, all right, one of you guys switch drivers. Well, I was holding the wine gift bag in my lap, and I didn't think about it, and I was right there, and I was like, oh, I'll switch, no problem.
We thought right? We were so smart.
He looks at me and goes, what's in the bag? And I panicked, because it looks really, really bad from an outside perspective. You couldn't see the Dr. Pepper. We decorated it very, very well. We pull out the Dr. Pepper, and he looks at me, and he shines his light in my eyes and goes, have you had anything to drink or smoke tonight? And I said, no, officer, I don't do that stuff. And he goes, all right, switch drivers then. So we switch, and right before he leaves, he looks at us, and he goes,
be smarter.
And that's how we got the theme for the year, ladies and gentlemen. So, this morning, we want to talk about why throughout this year we want to be smarter trusting in God. Today, we're going to talk about four examples. Two examples of people trusting in God.
And two examples of when they did not trust in God. So, let's start with example one. Maybe the most famous example in the Bible about someone not trusting God, the Israelites. The only question now is, what time did they not trust God? Because they did a lot. So today, if you want to get your Bibles or get your phones, whatever you want to use to read scripture, we're going to be in Numbers 13 and 14. If you need book context, Moses wrote Numbers. And in the chapters that we're reading today, it's about 35 to 38-ish years after parting the Red Sea in Exodus. So in Numbers 13 and 14, the Israelites are scared. They are very scared because they sent out spies to go to the Promised Land and see what was going on. The spies came back, and they were like, oh my gosh, there's a bunch of giants and men and like a ton of people. We can't go there anymore. So then the Israelites were like, okay, fine, we're not going to go there. So let's read 13:31 through 33.
But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We certainly can conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes there to live there. All the people we saw were huge, so we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protests against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt.
Guys, the Israelites were so scared. They wanted to choose new leaders, go all the way back to Egypt, and go back into slavery. What? What are you talking about? So, at this rebellion, God rightfully was like, guys, that's not cool. I'm going to strike you down. God was really angry at this. He had proven to them time and time and time and time again how trustworthy and good he was. But still, there were a few giants. We got to go back. So God said to Moses, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to strike you guys down. Moses is going to stay, and we're going to start a whole new nation. Let's go back and start from scratch. When I first read this, I was baffled. Because I had just finished Exodus. I had finally watched Prince of Egypt. I was like, what do you mean these Israelites aren't trusting in God? God had parted the Red Sea, thrown plagues upon plagues, literally freed them from an entire nation of slavery. I was so confused. I did not know why the Israelites could not trust God in that moment. And then I reflected upon my own life after reading that. I'm sure I'm not the only one, after reflection, could say that I haven't always trusted God in hard times. Even though God has done so much for me, He's been so trustworthy and so good and given me so many blessings, I haven't always trusted Him when things get a little tough. So in chapter 14, Moses goes to God and says, God, please, hear me out. I get these people are stupid, but I'm not stupid. Keep me in leadership. Don't smite these people. The Lord showed mercy in chapter 14. Speaking of Moses, Logan, I think you have something to say about that.
Yeah, Moses. Moses is a pretty cool guy. In this example, the Israelites, they didn't. But throughout the story, there is one pretty cool guy who did some pretty cool things that did trust in God. And his name is Moses.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off in Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 12.
Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appeal before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you, and this will be a sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain.
So Moses, initially, when God said, you are going to lead the people out, he was initially like, whoa, hold up. I don't think I can do that. Are you sure about this? Are you sure you dialed the right guy? You got the right person? And God reassured him. And this reassurance from God was the crucial foundation Moses needed for his trust in God's faithfulness and God's power. Despite all of his doubts, Moses obeyed God and confronted Pharaoh, eventually leading to the liberation of the Israelites. However, it wasn't as easy as that. There was a few hiccups with the Israelites along the way, as is shown in Exodus 14, verses 10 through 12.
As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It is better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.
So, despite witnessing God's mighty acts, such as the 10 plagues, parting of the Red Sea, the Israelites frequently doubted. But Moses never did after he got the reassurance from God. Moses used that firm foundation that he had and remained steadfast in his trust and faith with God. This is shown in Exodus 14, verses 13 through 14.
But Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm."
Moses' unwavering trust in God serves as an example for all of us. Even when faced with seemingly impossible challenges, that Moses believed in God's promises and powers. His faith was rewarded as God miraculously delivered the Israelites from Egypt. In our own lives, we may face situations that test our faith, like the Israelites did, like Moses did. But we have to remember that we are in a firm foundation with God, and to remember to stay steadfast with our trust and our faith in the Lord. For God is powerful and mighty, and he has a plan, and it will always work out with the Lord.
All right, guys, time for another example of when people did not trust God. I know, my favorite part. So I'm sure plenty of us are familiar with the story of Jonah. I remember learning the story of Jonah with one of those felt boards in, like, preschool pond. And they would put the big fish, and they'd put Jonah and tuck him into the big fish. And that was my favorite part. If you need book context, the book of Jonah was written anonymously, but it was very likely Jonah. And so we're going to start off with Jonah 1.
The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing it to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, while Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they had demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. Since the storm was getting worse all this time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh, Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights.
Some of my friends who aren't Christians, they ask me sometime, and they're like, "Do you think God has a humor?" I know God has a humor, because I'm telling you, he arranged for this fish to swallow up Jonah. Could you imagine him calling up that fish? "Hey, whale, I have this weird mission for you. I hope it got paid overtime." All right, so if you want historical context, Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. And he was like, "Oh, I don't know about that. That's not cool." Why did he not want to go? The people of Nineveh were known for killing Christians. And they weren't just like, "Oh, I'm going to kill you." Ooh, they killed them in pretty gruesome ways. It was pretty awful. It was public, and it was torturous. So naturally, as any Christian, I wouldn't want to go. Jonah did not want to go to that place because he feared. He was so fearful of these people that he was going to lose his life to them. He did not trust God. God said, "I have a plan for you." And he was like, "Do you? Do you, though?" Then he was swallowed by a fish. So I'm just going to move Jonah into the fish.
So Jonah did not trust God throughout his plan, and he was swallowed by a fish. Thankfully, later in the book of Jonah, Jonah prayed out to God and was like, God, listen, I'm sorry. I don't like this fish. I want to get out of here. You are powerful. I get that. I'm so sorry. And then God was like, yeah, I am. So God asked him again, once Jonah was out of the fish, God said, Jonah, you want to go to Nineveh? And he was like, yeah, I guess. It was only when God showed his great power and trustworthiness, Jonah had fear that the Lord was not strong enough to get him to Nineveh and get that message out safely. But God did. God put Jonah in that fish to show how much power over Jonah's life he had. So Jonah says, yeah, I'll go. Jonah finally trusted God. And the fruits from that were very recognizable. Jonah, when he preached the message of the Lord, he lived. They believed him. Jonah lived through that because he trusted God's plan through his life. Could you imagine how much simpler things would be if we had that kind of trust in God like Jonah did? I could definitely say for my life, if I had that kind of faith and trust in God daily, I would have a lot less problems. So I want you to reflect upon throughout the message and as we go on to worship later, how can you trust God in your life? Are you fully trusting your life with God? It will give you peace to trust in God. So, yeah.
On the topic of animals.
Oh, yeah.
There's another really good story that involves an animal. A really cool one. He's King of the Jungle, last I checked. And many of you guys might know it. The story of Daniel in the lion's den. Now, this book of Daniel, which beautifully illustrates the importance of trusting in God, even in the face of great danger. This story is about Daniel being thrown into a lion's den and his testament and unwavering faith in God. So our story begins with Daniel, a devout follower of God, who was living in Babylon under King Darius's rule. Daniel was quite distinguished amongst the administrators because of his exceptional qualities, and the king eventually planned to set him above the entire kingdom. Now, the rest of the administrators, they got a little jealous. They were like, well, what's so good about him? Okay, I could do it. And they made a plan to get Daniel. We're going to read Daniel 6, verse 5 first.
So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion.
So the other administrators tricked the king. They tricked him into signing a decree that for 30 days, anyone who prayed to any other god or human other than the king would be sent to be forced in a lion's den, knowing that Daniel prays. Even though the king signed this decree, Daniel continued to pray for 3 times a day. Eventually, the other administrators found him, told the king of what he was doing, and he was thrown into a lion's den. As said, Daniel 6, chapter 6, verse 16.
So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you.
The king had it sealed off so that no one else could rescue Daniel, and so that Daniel couldn't get out. The next day, he wanted to see just if this God that Daniel served was powerful or not. But the king thought at first that the lions would have eaten him. But it says in Daniel 6, verses 20 through 22,
when he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight. I have not wronged you, your majesty.
This story is a powerful reminder of the importance of trusting in God. Daniel's faith kept him safe in a den full of lions. And he never once doubted God's abilities. When we think about our own lives, we face challenges and we face situations that at the time are scary. And you may not know what to do. But one thing, if you have the faith and you have the trust in God, like Daniel did, he will keep you safe from whatever it is. He will help you. He will guide you like he guided Moses. He will keep you safe in the face of great danger. Even when others around you may say, no, no, he won't do that. He will.
Throughout this next year, that's what the youth want to do. We want to have faith like Daniel. We want to have faith and trust like Moses. Through anything and everything that we experience, we want to keep that steadfast faith and trust throughout this next year.
And we don't want to be the only ones that are doing that. So today we invite you guys all to join us in keeping that steadfast faith and trust in God.
We want to pray for trust right now. So if you'll bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me, we'll pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being a God who is worthy of being trusted. Lord, thank you for being a good God who has good plans for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray throughout this next year, throughout our entire lifetimes, Lord, that you stay and keep us constantly reminded of how good you are, Lord. Lord, in times of weakness, please give us courage and strength to make the choice to trust in you, Lord God. No matter what happens throughout this next year, Lord, please keep your presence with us. Holy Spirit, come down and anoint us every day and keep that trust within us. In your precious and holy name, amen. Some of you guys might not know who we're talking about when we say that trustworthy and good God. You might not know who that is. You know, there's always the rumor of someone, but it's different than knowing someone.
So right now, we're going to give you, everybody in this room, another opportunity to take that first step. So if everyone can bow their head and close their eyes, with no one else looking around, raise your hand if you say, I'm ready. I'm ready to have that faith and that trust in God like Daniel did in the lion's den. I'm ready to accept whatever the Lord may want. Thank you. Now with everybody praying together, nobody prays alone. Let us pray. Lord, please forgive me for my sins and be the Lord of my life. Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to grow closer to you. I pray these things in your great and powerful and holy name. Amen. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, in the same way there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Let us right now celebrate with those who have just taken their first step to accept the Lord Jesus, because our Lord God, He is good.
Thank you guys for letting us have the service with you today. Let's stand up and worship Him.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live. or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.